Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hallgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts this weekend, UFC 216, as Grand Valley takes center stage, as it is Kevin Lee and Tony Ferguson for the interim lightweight belt, as they wait to see if Conor McGregor will even defend it. And Ken, obviously, before we start breaking into fights, we have to acknowledge the fact that it's kind of a weird fight week coming off of Sunday night and the terrible tragedy that happened in Vegas. As Vegas attempts to get back to business, I would not say normal because I don't think it'll ever get back to normal, but as they get back to business, this has kind of overall been kind of a weird week.
Yeah, it definitely has. And this has been addressed in a lot of places right now, and we're not trying to rehash everything.
No.
and go over obviously the newsy parts of this, and, you know, not even, you know, put ourselves on some type of pedestal, which is always annoying as hell when you see these types of things happen. But obviously acknowledging the situation of the fight card is in Vegas. I believe the UFC announced that they're going to be in $1 million victims fund that's been set up. So they're acknowledging what happened there. It's obviously a huge tragedy. One of those situations that's still, I mean, it's an open wound as far as Vegas is concerned. But like you said, not necessarily getting back to normal, but back to business and maybe finding their new normal as we kind of move into this weekend. So it's obviously been a dampened fight week for a fight card that wasn't going to get a ton of mainstream play anyways. I mean, you and I were super excited about the card. The main event is top notch. I mean, these guys have been going back and forth in the media pressers and things like that. So it should be a lot of fun. Obviously, you're very excited about the World Flyweight Championship every time it's on. I'm not exactly sure why, but good for you. So, but yeah, you kind of have to acknowledge there's a bit of a cloud over this week and what's happening in Las Vegas. But it is fight week nonetheless, and we are going to have a fight this weekend, and we are going to have two belts on the line. And according to the competitors in that main event, this is the real belt until Conor McGregor decides what he's doing. Didn't Kevin Lee say something like he's lost now 2 out of 3? So I don't consider him the champ at this point. I don't know where Kevin's math came in. Is that the loss to Mayweather and then the one back to Diaz? But that's,
yeah,
more than three fights.
That would be it. I mean, you know, this has been a really interesting fight week in the fact that two things, and I was talking about this at work today, that one, logic, Ken, I would have thought heading into this that Tony Ferguson would be the hero and Kevin would be the foil. And that's not at all how at least they're editing the embeddeds and they're skewing the, you know, interviews that they're doing when they're on UFC Tonight. They've got Kevin Lee dressed up like a superhero and Tony Ferguson is talking in a monotone about how he, you know, is in a very sort of Rory McDonald kind of way. And then, of course, sparks fly and they go back at it because that's what those two do. I don't disagree that they are the champ until Conor comes back. And you and I have talked about this ad nauseum. So, I mean, I don't know that we've gone a show in 2 years without mentioning Conor's name. So I guess we're just aligned to do that. But I don't know that, as we've said before, I don't know that Conor's going to take this fight. And I was having a conversation on Facebook with one of our fans who was saying, you know, Ferguson and Lee, great fight, but Ferguson and McGregor is the fight of the year. And I was like, with all due respect, that's not going to happen. It's going to be Diaz. And when he's done with Diaz, it's going to be GSP because he's going to take fights for the money. And as you said, this thing's going to barely, even, you know, all insane weeks aside, right? This thing wasn't going to break 250,000 pay-per-view buys with on a normal week, right? So it's not like these guys are not, make no mistake about it, guys, the actual championship is almost an afterthought if that tells you anything about this card. They need these two to perform and they have lived up to the hype, but they're still not going to put huge numbers up this weekend because that's just not what we're doing this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, what we're maintaining, we're doing some maintenance this weekend, not maintaining, but we're doing some maintenance. We're keeping things going. You had to do something in the division, obviously, with Conor's absence. So we're doing some maintenance there. That's what's happening with the interim lightweight championship. Obviously, some maintenance with Dwayne Johnson after the fight got canceled. Was it last pay-per-view? I don't even remember.
Demetrius Johnson. Dwayne Johnson is The Rock.
Excuse, I'm sorry. I would
are
pay.
You,
oh man,
you're mad about the this Fast and Furious so 9. Big. Is that what you're mad about right now?
Oh my gosh,
your Wayne team Johnson. Tyrese.
If he shows up, like he runs in on that Fabricio Werdum, Derek Lewis fight, then we've all missed out.
Yes. Yes, we
Anyhow,
have.
Not Dwayne Johnson. Tiny Dwayne. Tiny The Rock. Demetrius. This is a maintenance card, which isn't terrible sometimes. I mean, that heavyweight fight should be a lot of fun, too. And obviously, we're going to get a little more resolution to the top of the division. This is probably the point in the show where you go, will we? We'll have a little more. That's all I can say. It may cause bigger messes in a month, but a touch more resolution, at least between these two guys.
Well, you've got the undisputed interim champion that you will get out of this weekend. You and I have talked about this on the show.
Wait, did you just hear what you said?
Yeah, no, I did. But this is
undisputed interim champion. I don't think those things go together.
This is where the business is right now. But what I was going to say is, for everyone who's waiting for Khabib to come back, guys, he's not going to fight. I don't think he's going to make it back. He's not part of the conversation, much like Ray Borg. It is Thursday night when we're recording this. Guys, there is no lock that says Ray even makes it to weigh-ins. Right. Yeah. Earlier today, he said, and I just want to read the tweet so that we've got the context, Ray Borg guarantees he will make it to UFC 216 and submit Demetrius Johnson. And I tweeted in response, which means he won't and he can't. Right. Because we don't even know if he's going to make it tomorrow. Now,
Eric keeps it real on Twitter, people.
Well,
so, you know, if you're not following already,
I just don't like
it's the realness.
I keep it 100 at all times. But my point is, you've got this secondary fight, which is odd to say because Demetrius Johnson is about to break a record, between a guy who missed three fights in the last year and a half, who now has a title fight and missed it the last time, so this is a replay. The top of the card, as I said, is important in so much as it is the interim championship, and I say undisputed because we don't know what Conor's going to do. Like you said, in a month this may all clear up, but Khabib is not in the picture until he makes weight, was my point, right? With Ray Borg saying he's going to make it, when you make it, we'll have the discussion about what's going to happen in the fight. But you've proven time and time again, three times to be specific, that you may not make it. And the same with Nurmagomedov. If you want to be part of the conversation and you want to fight Conor McGregor, Conor's not silly. He shouldn't fight you because he can't trust you to make it. And so right now, these two guys are the most important guys in the division, and we'll find out which one is the most important, the undisputed interim champion, on Saturday night.
Oh, please tell me they worked that into their voice work and for the intros, because that is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. But it does summarize where we are in the business, in the division, and in the UFC right now.
Well, you tell
we're
me
selling a pay-per-view.
You tell
on
me
the undisputed light heavyweight interim championship.
You tell me, Ken.
Or lightweight.
Are you giving me $60 to watch Conor McGregor and Tony Ferguson, Conor McGregor and Michael Bisping, Conor McGregor and George St. Pierre, or Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz?
Okay, so the first one's gone. So it's Conor and
Bisping, GSP, Conor Diaz.
I mean, yeah, you're going to pay all three of those. I think that's your point. I was actually trying to rank them, but I think your point was all three are going to get the dollars first. Nobody disagrees with that. It's just interesting. That's why we talk about it. It's weird, though. I really am surprised. I thought, and maybe Conor's just waiting for this weekend, and that could be the case. I thought we would already know what Conor's next move was. And the longer we wait, and I'm going to say this. If we go more than a couple of weeks after this next fight without hearing what Conor wants to do next, that's when we can really question whether or not we're going to see him back in the cage. I always thought we would. But I'll be honest, I thought we'd probably already know by now. He'd be calling out the winner of this. He'd be saying Nate Diaz that. The fact that we haven't heard any of that yet, it doesn't make me change my mind, because this fight's come. It's in the division. There's going to be a belt on the line. And the good thing is, yes, it's going to be an interim championship. But that plays in very well if you end up putting Conor back in the cage, because yeah, he's fighting a guy for an interim championship. He can get a lot of mileage out of that thing, calling the guy a paper champion, doing whatever the hell he wants at these pressers. And also too, you got to remember, the guy's been off for as long as he's ever been off in MMA, if I remember correctly, over the past like 4 or 5 years. So I'm not saying it's ring rust, but it wouldn't be terrible to get him in there. And again, I'm not taking anything away from Ferguson or Kevin Lee, but before Conor left, it's not like we looked at those guys and said they're going to go beat Conor.
No.
They're at Conor's level.
Nope.
So you'll have one of those guys perhaps as some type of warm-up rather than throwing him back to the Wolves with Nate Diaz. I think GSP would we'll have to see in a couple weeks, but I think GSP would essentially land as a quote-unquote warm-up as well. And I'm not trying to disparage any of these fighters. I just have to kind of look at what we've got in the recent history, the fact that Connor's in his prime, and that's how the landscape is sorting out. So going to be a very interesting couple weeks following this, because I think this fight and its result, that would be the precipice in which Connor decides to leap off of, you know, his stance of where he's going to go and what he's going to do in the future, because I'm surprised we haven't heard it yet. Whatever it ends up being, boxing or in the cage, and I have to believe that maybe this weekend, and then obviously however the GSP fight goes, I think those are probably two things he's waiting on, because he's a businessman and he wants to see how the landscape shakes out just a little bit more before he decides to plant his flag in a certain hill and take that certain fight.
Yeah, well, here's a couple things, and this is why I brought all those fighters up, because timing is everything, right? This fight is October 7th.
But GSP's in a championship fight.
Yep. No.
That's all about timing.
Yes.
Because things fell apart elsewhere.
So GSP is fighting in November. Conor McGregor has a movie coming out in November, so I don't think he's going to make it through the year without taking a fight just to be in the public eye and get more people to pay attention to the things that he's trying to put out there, which is why I think the rumors of the New Year's Eve-ish card with Diaz seem far more reasonable than anything else, because it's not as if Ferguson or Lee will be able to fight this year.
Yeah, that's exactly true, and you'll have to catch me up on this. I didn't realize... You know, I like Conor McGregor a lot. I tend to follow what's going on. What is going on with the movie? Can you give me a reset on this real quick?
What's called?
I didn't realize he had a movie.
Yeah, it's a documentary about
his documentary.
Yeah, documentary about his life. They're going to do it very similar to what they've been doing with, like, you know, if you're a music fan, in the past month you've had the Avett Brothers with a one night release in movie theaters, and then it comes out for you to buy. Pearl Jam did it this last week, one night, and then you get to buy the DVD.
Oh, how was that? By the way,
it was amazing.
I was bummed I couldn't go. I was bummed I couldn't go because I had prior commitments.
But yeah,
that sounded really cool.
It was super great. And then, so this is similar. It's going to be one night only in theaters for you to watch The Notorious, and then it'll be available for purchase. But you know as well as anyone that the reason Connor is where Connor is because he's a consummate marketer. And the best way to market this film is to be working on a fight. And so... if GSP and Bisping are off the table and Ferguson and Lee are off the table because they can't fight in November or December, it leans me to say that this Diaz fight is there, and the rumors of it being announced, to your point, will happen soon after this, with maybe you get your Ferguson or Lee fight with that March card that they were talking about where they want St. Paddy's Day at MSG.
Oh, I am so on board with that card.
So like, I mean, if you're putting Connor on it, you can put whoever in that you want to.
I mean, I've got a new daytime gig, and I've got a new job, so I kind of have to pay attention to when I can and can't work, and my family's already pretty much eaten up my vacation time. But, man, I'm looking at thinking about that card being, New York, St. Paddy's weekend.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, my family knows me pretty well.
Yeah.
How much time do I really need to spend with them?
They've got it.
They know pretty much everything they need to know about me at this point. Do we need another vacation somewhere?
I have seen you enough this year. It's time for me to go on a walkabout.
Every day, Eric. It's a pretty consistent streak I've been running. I've seen my son or my wife every day this year at one point.
That's awesome. I've seen one or the other every day.
Look, it's a whole year I'm talking about here. It's a good streak I'm running at this point.
All right, so
once we get to hunting season, though, it breaks. So yeah, let's just.
I'm with you. So let's get into this. So at the top of the card, you got Ferguson and Lee. What are your thoughts on this fight?
I honestly don't know. I'm a fan of both of these guys. I think I said it last week on the podcast. I think if you were just to try to take away everything outside of the fight and really just look at the records, the fights, how long they've been doing it, how they finished the fights, I think Tony Ferguson's your favorite, right? Is he the Vegas favorite at this point?
Yes, he is.
I think, yeah, he's your favorite. There's that unquantifiable thing, though, I see with Kevin Lee, and we've seen it since day one. Hell, we saw it in the loss to Al Iaquinta. Like, there was just something there, and yeah, he took the loss that night, but everybody goes, that was interesting. That was really weird how he fought, but he was doing really well with it, and then he obviously took the loss that night, but I think he learned from that. There's a thing about Kevin Lee, and this will be a big fight that tests him. I know Tony Ferguson's been saying he's all hype and he's gotten there with hype, and he's certainly taken himself into the fast lane with the way he's been able to kind of hype himself up and not necessarily trash talking, but talking himself up, which I think you have to do nowadays in the fight game. I mean, Conor McGregor is showing everybody. We can't get through a segment, let alone a show, without mentioning that dude. So I think there's a very interesting dynamic at play. The bigger loss would be, I think, for Tony Ferguson. I think if Tony Ferguson takes a loss, I think he falls farther than Kevin Lee, because I feel like people will go look at Kevin Lee if he took a loss this week and go, okay, he showed up, but maybe needs a little bit more work. Tony Ferguson feels like he's a little more polished and maybe a little more finished, maybe doesn't have other things that he can add to the repertoire at this point. And again, I'm not fighter bashing at these points. I'm just trying to look at the finished product and where things are and where these guys have landed so far. I could be entirely wrong. Remember, people, I was 100% wrong about Conor McGregor. So I can be totally wrong about this. But that's my feeling as we go in. Tony probably should win. It's going to be a harder loss for him to take than it would be for Kevin to take. And Kevin, he's got something that might not be quantifiable until we see him in the cage. And when we quantify it, he could have a belt around his waist this weekend.
Yes, and you've got Tony Ferguson on a 9-fight win streak, as you were just alluding to. You've got Kevin Lee on a 5-fight win streak, which is, of course, why it makes it convenient to say that he talked his way into this. But as we said a couple minutes ago, timing is everything. I don't disagree with you that this is a tough fight to call. And on paper, Ferguson should win this. Ferguson should certainly be a handful for Kevin. There's no doubt about that. But there is something about... there's something about him, like you said, with the it factor. And, you know, we obviously have a connection to his current camp, you know. And it just, there's something about his camp and the way that they're talking that's different than the last 5 fights that they've been talking, that it feels like they've made some adjustments to what it's like to be in a championship fight and what it's like to take your game up a notch and what it's like to fight a guy like Tony Ferguson, who's going to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at you, and he's going to stand in the middle of the octagon, and he's going to make you earn that win. Where this gets interesting, though, Ken, you know, when you talk about both of their skill sets, is Ferguson's jiu-jitsu, I think, should be better than Kevin Lee's. However, Kevin Lee's jiu-jitsu has looked ridiculous at times. You go back to that Al Iaquinta fight, like, he was all over Al early on, and he obviously couldn't finish it, but this was a guy no one had heard of who just literally jumped on Al Iaquinta like he was a white belt.
Like he snaked him, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so that's where this fight gets really interesting. Both of these guys, Ferguson's weakness, I think, is he likes to take punches the same way Conor does. You know, that's just a bad overall strategy, I think, for your career. He likes to take straight punches. And I he can take them all day until, you and I have said this a million times, until you can't.
There's one night under the lights and they're like, boom, can't take him anymore. Got hit in this spot too many times.
And with Kevin training on and off with Floyd and, you know, he's got some ridiculous striking coaches. Like, I just don't know. I'm not saying that that's the key to victory. I'm saying, though, if you've got a fighter whose tendency, much like when we were talking about John Jones and Daniel Cormier, and I was not the only one to say this, but a lot of us said this, when DC gets tired, the only way you can tell is he dips his head into your foot. And if someone wants to kick his head in, that's how they're going to win the fight. And guess what? Someone kicked his head in, and that's how they won the fight.
Well, I mean, that's a no contest.
No, it's
come on, Eric.
Yeah, right, yes. What did my friend Julian say? Records can be changed, but knockouts are forever, right?
Oh man. He's
so
brutal.
Like,
that's another one who keeps it real online, ladies and gentlemen. More real than you can imagine at this point.
Yes.
Oh my God. He's so, worth a follow. Is he on Twitter?
He is.
I didn't know he's on Twitter. I gotta jump on that.
He's not quite as savage on Twitter as he is on Facebook, though. So.
Oh man, on Facebook, man. I just, you know, I think I asked you one. I'm like, is he drinking? Go on Facebook, because he goes all in. You're like, no, man, he just on
he's
Facebook.
Just a savage. He's,
like, there's a field of F's and it's barren because that's all he has.
There was no water to keep them growing, so they're all gone.
It's a dusty field of F's out there for Julian.
So with that, I'm going to pick the underdog. I'm going to pick Kevin Lee in this one.
You're going to pick Kevin Lee.
I'm going to pick Kevin Lee in this one. I just got like, you know, I know I have a little bit of insider information, and I've got a feeling about it. And you know me, I always think when you watch the embeds tell a story behind the story. And I think the fact that they keep showing exactly like they did with Mayweather versus McGregor, what was Floyd doing? He was at a strip club. He was eating chicken wings. He was driving around in a car. Like, he was doing zero fighting, right?
Yes.
Kevin's doing the same.
Which means and I said to you on this podcast, I mean, that means if it doesn't look like Floyd's training, he's training his ass off.
Yes, and so this is the same thing. Like, if you watch the first embedded, Kevin Lee's driving a sports car and Tony Ferguson is out on a beach working out, right? Like, they're making it seem like Kevin is on vacation and Tony is Rocky in this, which I always go, okay, there's another story being told here, and that's why I'm leaning into Kevin Lee.
And that's interesting too. I mean, you obviously have a connection with both those camps.
Of course. So this is very hard for me to do because I do have a connection with both guys, but I got a feeling about Saturday and Kevin.
Well, I mean, it's interesting too, because we know both guys, like they are all in on this, and not that most fighters aren't, but we know a little bit of the backstory with these guys. So we get a little more invested. I mean, Tony's got that place in Big Bear, right?
Yes.
Isn't that where he built that place?
Yep.
So, I mean, he's all in. And these guys to train, because we know them both from Michigan, because, I mean, you mentioned the Grand Valley thing earlier. We love being here. You can't train properly here. You have to get to a world-class level. So, obviously, Tony did the thing with Big Bear. And I know that Kevin Lee, you know, basically threw everything in a car and went out to Vegas and San Diego. And has been doing training and notched it up with all these dudes. So, I mean, these guys are both all in, and that's not saying a ton, but this is an instance where Eric and I both get kind of a look at that, like, man, these guys didn't know. And at the time they did it, they weren't promised a UFC pay-per-view main event. Kevin Lee was hoping to get on a fight night or a fight pass card. Tony Ferguson was hoping to be on a stream, and they uprooted their lives and got in and did this. And now, I'm not saying other fighters don't do it, but that's a way this story kind of plays out for you and I at an interest level and looking at this thing and kind of really, it's an interesting fight because you're saying that Kevin's going to pull it off. And, you know, I think Tony's going to lock it down. I think it's going to be, not a clinic, but I think he's going to show he's got just a little more experience in there, and he's just going to basically lock it down. And again, that's not going to be terrible for Kevin. I don't think him taking a loss here is going to be that bad. I do, though, think it's one of the most interesting fights I've looked at from a personal perspective, because whoever wins, I'm going to be happy as hell for those guys, because I've seen a lot of the guys in their camp. I know the guys they've been rolling with for years. If Kevin Lee wins, I know the guys that he's been rolling with and training with, and he's been trying to improve, and there's a lot of dynamics that happen behind the scenes with these guys. Same thing with Tony Ferguson, where he started, you know, wrestling in Allendale. I mean, this is amazing things for both of these guys, and this is a similar story to almost every fighter in the UFC. It's just now that we can kind of put, all right, there's my connection. I know this guy. I know some of the guys he rolled up with. And it helps everywhere because, you know, I understand that. It doesn't matter if it's somebody from Brazil, if it's somebody from China, if it's somebody from the Middle East. They went through the same thing and at some point in their lives decided to take that step. And I think that's a really cool story to tell on this podcast because we've got a lot of people that are local that kind of started with us first. And you and I kind of have some of those connections at this point with both those guys. So it's really cool to have this main event set up for Saturday night, and as long as I'm home, as long as I'm here, they will get my money because of that. I get it. Nationwide, that doesn't play the same, but they're going to get my money because I'm going to support both of those dudes in the main event.
And one other cool story coming out of West Michigan that I want to allude to that I did online earlier this week is, don't forget, Cody Stamann from Muskegon is also on this card. And Cody Stamann took his first UFC fight, I think on a 3-day notice, won that fight, and he's now in what Kenan and I have called the driver's position. He's in the final fight before the main card starts. So he,
And this is one of those things where he's in that position we talked about probably 4 or 5 years ago with both Tony and both Kevin Lee. So it's just very cool to kind of see the rise and where it goes and when you end up in the main event.
So, yeah, if you're a Laker fan, this is your card because it's all GVSU fighters for probably the first time in history and perhaps the last time in history.
For those of you still crying in your beers because Brian Kelly left all those years ago.
You have Kevin Lee, Tony Ferguson, and Cody Stamann, so shut up.
There you go. You're at the top of this UFC card. give them your $60 this weekend and show your love.
The co-main event is Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson as he goes for a record-breaking title defense against Ray Borg. And just a level set, as we were sort of talking around the issue a couple minutes ago, Ray Borg had some health issues for UFC 215, which kept him off the card. They canceled that fight and moved it to 216, which is how you get these guys back-to-back. This becomes interesting, Ken, in so much as you and I, we don't talk a fair amount about athletes peaking or when they're peaking, because by and large, it's kind of boring to talk about. However, if you're peaking at the right part and then they go, oh yeah, by the way, we're not doing it now, we're doing it 4 weeks from now, that becomes an interesting X factor for this. And it, to me, doesn't change what Demetrius Johnson is going to do. It changes a guy who is sick when he was supposed to be peaking and now has four more weeks to kind of figure that out and re-peak for UFC 216.
Yeah, I don't know what to take away from that, because you've got both situations, and you've heard situations before too. I mean, let's go back to UFC 200. This was a situation where I believe Daniel Cormier, after seeing how everything led up to the fight, I believe he was probably going to beat John Jones that night. I think you never know where the magic's going to land in camps. And again, Demetrius Johnson doesn't necessarily need the magic to land to beat Borg, but you never know in these situations. And yeah, the guy was sick. He got to pull out. You got to reset it. 4 weeks isn't exactly a camp for most fighters. So it's a weird timeline as it is, because I would assume a guy like Demetrius Johnson, who's been in championship fights over and over and over and over again, has really gotten his timing down. So something like pulling out and having to reset for just a 4 week camp could conceivably affect him more than, you know, this guy coming off the street. Let's look at Michael Bisping, who walked in famously, as Eric always says, he was shooting a movie with Vin Diesel 2 weeks prior before he won the UFC championship. You never know. Sometimes experience is a blessing. Inexperience, I should say, is a blessing in these situations, because you don't know what you shouldn't know. Like, Demetrius Johnson might know exactly when he should be peaking. He's figured it out. He's had a long career, all of the things you factor in. And then you blow that up because the fight gets canceled. Then he's got to fight again in 4 weeks. Because let's be honest, he's probably got the least leverage out of any champion in the UFC.
In UFC history, probably.
Maybe. I mean, and that's mostly a function of his division. And it's not a knock on the dude. It's just realistically, when you look at all these divisions and who's got the leverage where, he's probably lower on the list. I get there's probably other guys not as well known, but you never know. Mentally, these things are always interesting, because the guy could have it in his head, man, I was really peaking 4 weeks ago. Oh, I had to redo the camp. I'll still win. But, man, I wish I was fighting for it. You never know mentally what these guys are doing. Obviously, the guy's been great. He's been leagues above his competition. But it's always about that day when we talk about fights like this, when guys are on streaks, when guys are undefeatable. You know, how many years ago was it that Jose Aldo was never going to be beaten? How many years ago was that? That was a while ago at this point. He was never going to be beaten. Remember, Eric? How are you going to beat this guy? What's going to happen? Nobody's going to beat this guy. That guy's undefeated. He's never lost a fight in 7 years. Blah, blah. Oh, 13 seconds. You never know.
13 seconds and then never to be heard again.
Yeah, that was a fall right there. He's still falling through the mat. Just went down and just kept going.
It's like, I'll just go back to Herb soccer. I was really good at soccer.
Herb Dean's looking in there, that sinkhole, and poor Jose Aldo's still falling at this point.
The heavyweight fight Ken was alluding to is Fabricio Werdum, who's had an interesting couple days against Derek the Beast Lewis, who last lost to Mark
Hunt.
What
did I miss? Fabricio Werdum
was enjoying a media lunch with Tony Ferguson, and Tony Ferguson told him to shut up. And then Fabricio Werdum decided to call him all sorts of all sorts of slurs,
Brazilian curse words
about his sexuality, and then say, "Oh, that's normal. That's just how we talk in Brazil," which you hear a lot
from
Brazilians.
Look, I'm not saying it's right, but it's true. It's not right, but it's true. And you got to look at culture sometimes.
So,
that was weird.
All those weird things aside, you know, and I would, this is what I was saying online earlier this week, is like, this is the one of the things about Tony that I think is a distraction for fans, is like, some people get really behind the fact that you're just going to fight everybody, except the problem is when you're fighting everybody, they're not paying attention to who you're actually fighting, right? And you can't just start.
Yeah, but to be fair, this is just like a weird little media lunch. Do you think it's that big a deal?
No. I just mean like you could probably make it through a media lunch without trying to fight a heavyweight. Like, that just seems.
Like, hey, bro, can you try not like, to can you like, just piss off the guy who weighs 150 more pounds than you?
Right.
How about that? 100 pounds. My public school math was a little bit off right there, so.
And so that's, you know, I'm saying, like, it was a really weird situation, and I just think you should be able to, you know, coexist with other fighters without getting into it. All that to be said, this fight has some implications, not the least of which is, what is Derek Lewis's chin like? Because I don't normally give props to other journalists in the same way, but I feel like Ariel Helwani's onto something by asking why Derek Lewis takes so many fights so quickly. You know, and like, he doesn't really rest from these injuries. And even, you know, he's been helping people during hurricane season. You know what I mean? Like, he's been doing a lot of stuff that keeps him distracted coming off of that loss to Mark Hunt. Like, this is really interesting about, he was going to retire after that fight, and now he's back for whatever reason, you know. And Fabricio Werdum is not a guy that you want to take lightly or sleep on or be distracted or any of that stuff.
Look, well, I mean, there's some people, though, I mean, that's good for them. They like to be busy. They like to be moving forward. Look, man, I've known you for 20 years. I can't imagine you spending a day, like, just sitting somewhere. Like, on occasion, I've tried to get you to do things like that. Like, hey, Eric, you want to just go, like, hang out and sit in the woods? Yeah, but what are we doing? Are we going to go, like, kill something? Are we going to shoot something? Are we going to go, like... There's people with that momentum, and I understand in their life. So maybe this helps. I mean, that he's got a lot going on.
Yeah,
maybe that clears his head.
And that
plus
part,
he's helping hurricane victims.
Yes.
And he's not throwing paper towels into the crowd. Yeah. He's actually going.
Yes, he's doing
and helping them.
He's doing the work. That's not. I'm not saying that he shouldn't do that stuff. What I am saying, though, is you can be busy. Like, I think while Donald Cerrone isn't doing as philanthropic endeavors in his off time, he is equally busy, and it seems to work very well for him. What I am saying, though, is when you take a devastating loss to a guy like Mark Hunt, you might want to take a little bit more time off, because Fabricio Werdum is not a walk in the park, right?
It's my left field prediction. I think Derek Lewis is going to beat him. I think it's going to beat him. I think it's going to be second round.
He only needs to touch him once, but you think, like, Verdum's career is over? Like, what are you saying here?
I mean, the dude's had a rough time. I mean, this was supposed to be the guy that ran the division for years, remember? He was supposed to, this guy's going to run the division for years. After Velasquez was supposed to run the division for years, and then JDS was supposed to run the division for years. I like Verdum a lot. I like him a lot. I just feel like we're getting to the point with Werdum, though, where, you know, he's taken a couple losses. The loss, obviously, against Stipe, it's nothing to be ashamed of. That's the champion. Obviously, the loss against Alistair Overeem a couple different times. He's 40 years old, Eric. He's 40 years old. This is good. That's, you know, when you talk about those guys not being able to take the hits or not being able to do the things that they used to be able to do, 40 years old plays a big factor into that. And, you know, Derek Lewis isn't a spring chicken. He's 32. But he's not 40 years old, and he hasn't taken the fights and the punishment that Fabricio Werdum has.
And he didn't have to go to Pride. So Pride 40 is like Pride 65.
It's like dog years, man. Pride is like dog years, man. You've been over there. I love Werdum, and I love those old school Pride guys, but he's 40 years old. And I really think this is – I think this is going to be Derek Lewis. He's going to go in there. He's going to be impressive, and he's going to win the fight, if not easily, but impressively.
Well, there you have it. There you have it. You've got a women's...
And he's helped hurricane victims, so you can't take that away either.
Yes, that feels a little bit about, like, correlation instead of causation, but whatever.
I'm just saying you can't take it away.
No one was trying to. Okay.
Don't take it away.
Rest of the card rolls out like this. Women's flyweight fight. You got Dariush and Evan Dunham to kick it off in the lightweight division. As I said, Cody Stamann is in the bantamweight position right before the main card starts. Will Brooks is back taking on Nick Lentz. Funky Lando, he will be fighting Bobby Green. So some really, really great fights. I get it. Ken said this a couple times in the show. Like, this is not a card that's certainly moving the needle and getting people to run to watch the fights. There is some amazing college football on this weekend, so this is going to be a tough putt for a lot of people to kind of dedicate the time to.
Yeah. How much of a pain in the ass is it for the UFC when they got two Michigan guys in the main event that the Big Ten moved the Michigan-Michigan State
to
game
what, like eight?
To a night game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a night game. So it's going to roll into essentially the UFC. So that was a little bit of a bum move. I don't know how much Michigan moves the needle, but that was just an interesting kind of side note on that.
Yeah, so like I said, it's not going to be a big numbers as far as pay-per-view buys go, but as far as fights go, as Ken and I have said leading up to this, as soon as it was announced, guys, there is not a more interesting fight in the UFC this year than Tony Ferguson and Kevin Lee.
So it should be a fun weekend. If you give them your $60,
yep,
it'll be interesting.
Speaking of Michigan and UFCs, we have a UFC coming to Detroit. And we said it last week before they made it official, but they have made it official. It is Max Holloway and Frankie Edgar for the belt at 145, which, I mean, okay, whatever.
Yeah, that's we talked about. We were wondering, like, what is this Detroit card going to look like? Frankie Edgar, I love the guy. You know, Max Holloway's been interesting. I don't know. I don't know about this Detroit card. Obviously, we've got a lot of talk still about Bisping and GSP coming up. But yeah, that Detroit card is looking weirdly lackluster at this point. So it'll be interesting to see where the fight card lands. I think we might have Overeem on that card, which is cool. Is that official with him and Nagano?
Yes, him and Nagano is official, which is interesting. But those are the only two fights that you have on this thing. December 2nd, tickets are currently on sale, but you've got Overeem and Nagano and Holloway and Edgar, and that's all you've got.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of look at that card and see how it shakes out. Things change so quickly, too. I mean, that's what, December? That's
December
2nd, I believe.
December 2, yes.
Yeah, so, I don't want to get too into it because we don't know what's going to happen by that point. I mean, Connor would be on that card by that point if some of your theories play out.
0% chance.
December, New Year's Eve, 0%. Okay, thanks. Thanks for that. All right. Little Caesars Arena, thanks you for just knocking that right down. Like, couldn't even sell like one or two, brah.
Nope, 0% chance. All right.
Okay.
Before we move on to some other stuff that we want to get into, including Michael Bisping's interesting discussion about GSP, want to throw a shout out to Matt Hughes. An amazing photo out this week of him standing with the nurses who treated him after the crash. He looks fantastic. This story is nothing short of incredible. So glad to see him up and about after, if you forget, over the summer, his truck was actually hit by a train.
That's insane.
It's an insane story, an incredible story, and so glad to see him up and looking in good spirits. So some good news for the Hughes family, which is awesome.
Especially this week. I mean, yeah, it's nice to see those. I mean, you know, he's still struggling with some of his motor skills, but we talked off the air about this, and, you know, we heard about the story and kind of heard some stories. We thought he was going to die.
Yeah, it was looking bad early on, and this is just so amazing to see. And like you said, Ken, you know, especially in a week like this, it's amazing to share news like that. All right, like I said, Michael Bisping has his big fight coming up in November against George St. Pierre, and has been doing some interesting press this week, saying that he thinks George is on the juice. And Ken and I have talked about this leading up to, you know, other people talking about it, like Michael Bisping. And look, would that surprise me? No, because you said it earlier. The guy comes off of eating, you know, drinking espresso with Vin Diesel and wins the title, and you've been out for 4 years. Yeah, I would take everything before I had to fight Michael Bisping. All of the things that I could take. I would take every single thing.
So do you think in this situation he thinks GSP is like on steroids, or he just did some steroids while he was hanging out filming movies, or what do you What do you think happened here? Because I know I saw a headline there, and I'll look this up in a minute while you're speaking, about like him walking back the comments a little bit. But it's just an interesting thing because it's one of those things where you hear a lot of whispers about whether or not GSP has been on something, and then to have a guy like Michael Bisping just go out and say, yeah, I think he's on it, is a very interesting thing for him to do.
Well, yeah, so what he said was, I'd had a heavy night before, and George was taking pleasure in mocking me for my behavior. So he says, so what, George? I'm 38 years old. I'm in Las Vegas. If you're man enough to fight me anytime soon, I won't be drinking when I'm training for a fight. I'm very, very dedicated, but of course, I'm not training for a fight because I don't know whether you need to clear steroids out of your system before you enter the USADA testing pool. I don't know what the reason is, but he definitely has a potential valid reason because you've got to get tested for 6 months before you come back, and he did his best to delay it, so maybe that was why.
And you know, I think we've talked about Michael Bisping and all the guys that have beat him in his career and the fact that they were either on TRE or busted at some point. You know, you can't really fault the guy for being a little skeptical of these types of situations. He was on Conan O'Brien. Did you see this quote?
I did not.
okay, quote. He's coming up a weight class from welterweight to middleweight. So I was saying he was doing lots of weights to get bigger. Realistically, I think he's trying to grow the size of his balls. End quote. So I don't know how much that's walking back the comments. Let's talk about the editing on that headline there. But not a lot of love lost in this fight, which is going to make it really, really fun when we get to that fight.
Yeah, except for here's the problem, right? Is that we both know.
Oh,
that...
come on, don't be a bummer.
No. I'm not being a bummer.
Not this week,
I'm not being
Eric,
a bummer. I'm not being a bummer. I'm just merely saying that you and I both know when it comes to verbal sparring, George St. Pierre is a white belt, so it makes it less fun to watch Bisping just run all over him. Because hasn't
I don't know.
All George has said this week is, I think he's an angry man.
I think he is an angry man.
I think he's a very angry man.
Yeah, you can say that, but also people watch training footage of all the time, and people are just banging on heavy bags. So you know, maybe that's this version of it. You're just banging on the heavy bag of trash talk right there. You're just going to throw it at him, and if you're entertaining enough, sure, I'll give you my YouTube click. I'll give you your 30-second view.
Fair enough.
I'm in.
What do you?
I'm in.
You think this fight's going to be interesting, or you think it's going to be all Bisping all day?
See, here's the thing. I like Bisping a lot. I think he's been fortuitous somewhat in the circumstance that he's been able to kind of I'm just saying he's been a bit fortuitous, but that fortune comes from the fact that he's always fighting. He's never stopped fighting, and he's taken the fights when they ask him to take the fights. You know, you create your own luck. Is Michael Bisping is that dude. You create your own luck. Yeah, there's some luck there, but he's created most of his damn luck by being consistent, dependent, always there, and he keeps fighting. So that's a dude I look at and go, huh, you know, if I was calling this fight 3 or 4 years ago, yeah, GSP is going to probably whoop him, but now he's the guy that's still been active. But you still do have one of the best fighters that's ever lived, that's ever done this, and you look at the situation and go, yeah, I'm not sure. That's what makes an interesting fight. That's what makes people hand their money out pay-per-view. So I think this should be Bisping easily, but again, every time I think about that, I go, man, you know what, there's no way in hell I would have picked the dude 4 years ago. He's still fighting, but it's not, he's still an older dude. Like you said, he's 38. You know, he and GSP are pretty close in age at this point. So it's just the fact that GSP decided to quote-unquote retire at the point that he did that makes this look like a situation slightly different than it is, because you've got a guy who's nearing 40, who's the champion, fighting a guy who's a couple years younger. I think GSP's 36.
36,
and
yes.
It's one of those things, but he hasn't been fighting. So that's where all these dynamics come in, because, yeah, 4 years ago, GSP's 32. You've got a 34-year-old Michael Bisping. Who are you calling 4 years ago? 2013.
2013, if it's before Hendricks, I'm taking George. If it's after Hendricks, I'm taking Bisping.
Oh, look at you breaking it down. Breaking it down.
Because speaking of breaking it down, I think Hendricks broke him, which is why I think Bisping is going to just run over him.
Well, considering that fight didn't happen until November of 2013, you can land on the GSP side then, because that was most of 2013, that GSP at that point.
Fair enough.
So it's very interesting to kind of think about that dynamic when, if you were picking that fight 4 years ago, these guys, you would have said, okay, yeah, no problem. That's probably GSP. But after Johnny Hendricks' fight, it's a different discussion. And regardless of the fact that we're 4 years later, we're still after the Johnny Hendricks fight. So that'll be very interesting to see what happens in this middleweight championship fight.
And in the light heavyweight division, some news. It looks like Daniel Cormier and Volkan Ozdemir are going to lace him up. Volkan says he's going to beat Daniel inside of 2 minutes, which is interesting. And in a related note, Rumble Johnson's retirement lasted all of about 6 months, and he is back. He's going to be fighting in the heavyweight division.
The weed business not treating him well?
Apparently not. Apparently it's a lot harder to sell weed than it used to be when you're in high school, I guess. I'm not real sure.
Okay, all right. I never sold weed in high school, Eric. I know you grew up on the mean streets of Glenview, Illinois.
I don't either, but like, you know, when he was leaving, he was making it seem like this was going to be his, you know, ride out in the sunset. It's easy money. And I just think, you know, not to get all political, but like, I think it's hard to make money in a industry that the government doesn't actually still see as legal. So it doesn't surprise me that he's back. And he's going to go up a weight class, which is interesting because there's some tension, I guess, between him and Daniel Cormier. Daniel saying that they used to be friends, and then at UFC 2, which was the one with John Jones, 14 or 13?
Oh, I don't know. Let's just move ahead.
213. Like, Rumble looked like he was giving advice to John Jones, which Daniel took offense to. But what's interesting about the story is not that those two are now no longer friends. What's interesting is that Rumble is coming back and wants nothing to do with the Daniel Cormier light heavyweight division because he lost to him twice. He wants to go up.
I was going to say, I mean, I don't blame Rumble. He's gotten beaten twice. I mean, what's he really going to do at this point? Although, again, it feels like we're talking a lot of 40-year-old champions at this point. At some point, Daniel Cormier is going to have that drop off. That's why I said on the podcast before, I'm really surprised with this Ozdemir thing. Maybe you don't want to retire on that KO, but you didn't lose the fight. It's really weird in that light heavyweight division, and I'm sure there's a part of Daniel Cormier that would love another one of those fights, because I mean that's still one of the legit contenders, even though he was able to beat him twice. It's one of those weird things. So wait, you never chucked like weed in the back of that hardware store you worked at or something?
Weed in the back of an Ace Hardware.
Maybe you knew a guy or something.
Oh, of course I knew guys. Knew guys that were doing it, but it's like I never saw them selling weed out back and thought, hey, that's the way that you make $1 million.
No, that's not what I meant. You said you pretended you knew nothing about it.
No, I did not pretend I knew nothing about it. I just didn't I never looked at it and saw that's how you build Amazon.com.
Dude shows up and buys 57 fluorescent lights. Let's go out back. We'll figure some stuff out this.
Exactly. And then you made your $11 and you went, this is a really hard way to make a living.
This is tough, man. And good thing I just sold you dirt weed that was terrible. I sold you real weed, I would have lost money.
Right.
Not that I know anything about that. And, get rich or die trying.
And on that note, my friends, you can keep up with everything in the world of mixed martial arts by following us. And of course, any sort of weed tips that we're going to give you on Twitter, I guess now. On Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. This weekend, we will cover all of the results of UFC 216 and keep you up to date on any of the other fights that get assigned to UFC Detroit. I am Eric Hulcrin. That is Ken Evans. This is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.